What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. My name is Zach Clinton. I'll be your host, and as we continue to grow, I'll have friends joining me each week to interview some of the leading experts in the fields of motivational speaking, mental health, ministry, and even sports. Our goal is to instill hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today, and our prayer is that after each episode, you'd be more equipped and encouraged to look, love, and live more like Christ from the inside out. That's our definition of what it means to be built different. So I hope you're ready. You better buckle up. Let's roll. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. You guys, I hope and pray you had a blessed weekend and really just an incredible week last week. It was a week of celebration, right? Coming out of the 4th of July. What an incredible time just to celebrate all that God has done and just all the freedom that we have the opportunity of living with and experiencing here in this great land. I don't know about you, but we kind of partook in all the festivities in terms of the parades, the 4th of July celebrations, the fireworks, the cookouts, a lot of hamburgers and hot dogs were eaten. Now, I can't eat those things. I have that allergy called alpha-gal. So I was enjoying a nice piece of chicken, right? And so I missed out on the hamburgers and the hot dogs. But man, I hope you guys just enjoyed your time. I was blessed to have spent a lot of time with my wife and my family and being around a lot of veterans, my dad, a bunch of my uncles that served in the armed forces, and just being able to thank them for their sacrifice, their commitment, their dedication to our great country. And man, what a blessing it was to have a true American hero and patriot join us last week on the podcast. And Tim Lee, a man who served in the Vietnam War and really gave up his two legs for us, for our freedoms. He sacrificed his two legs for the American land. And what a blessing it was just hearing how in the midst of the pain and in the midst of the adversity and the challenge that obviously brought and that he experienced in his life, that he clung to the midst of Christ, to the message of hope in his life. And because of that, he was able to experience post-traumatic growth in his life. And now as an evangelist who has impacted thousands and really millions of people across the world, you guys, what an opportunity he has had to really just share the good news of the gospel of Christ. And so at the end of last week's episode, I gave him that opportunity just to share that message of hope to all of our listeners. And so maybe that's you today that actually listened to that. And maybe for the first time you received that and you responded to that message of hope by just saying, I believe. And because I believe, I'm asking for the forgiveness of my sins and I'm ready to step into the purpose and the calling that God has placed on my life. But maybe you don't know where to turn next. Maybe you're just not sure where to go. And so that's where we're transitioning into today's episode. Today we're going to be really talking about and deciphering the difference between religion, right, and relationship. Whether it's like performance-based religion, whether it's going to church, doing a bunch of things, praying, being in the Word, how do I do those things if I really don't understand how to, or if really God's Word is coming to life here by saying that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except through Him. Therefore, we must be in pursuit and seeking a relationship with Christ that can transform our lives. That's the conversation that we're going to be having today. And we're going to talk all about what is the difference, like again, between religion and relationship. What does it look like to actually abide in Christ, to actually be attuned to the Spirit of God and to walk with the Spirit of God? And especially, we even talk about some big questions like, what if I'm struggling with some things in my life, some temptations? What if I'm new to the faith? What if I'm an unbeliever that's maybe entertaining the idea and there are things that I engage in my life, some things that I enjoy doing, some things that I crave, some things that I love that I've come to find out that God doesn't love, that God hates, that actually breaks His heart? How can I begin to experience that life change? How can I begin to experience the shifting in the desires of my heart? And ultimately, we always come right back around to just helping you understand, my friends, that this love and that this grace and this mercy and forgiveness that Christ has to offer is something that we could never earn. And it's something that we could also never deserve. Even though we are not worthy, God calls you worth it. And you have that opportunity today and every day to accept, to receive, and to step into that free gift. That's my prayer, that today's message would be so impactful for you. Today, joining us is going to be a very near and dear and special friend of mine. I've had the opportunity and privilege of serving as the athletic shepherd, in other words, like a team chaplain for the Liberty University baseball team over the last several years. I had the opportunity and privilege of playing baseball at Liberty for 4 years. So after my playing career was over, I stepped kind of into this shepherding role. And man, I've had a blast just building relationship, lifelong relationships, and a brotherhood with so many guys that have come in and out of that program. One of them is our guest today, and his name is Ryan Shea. Man, Ryan is such a special kid. You'll hear me say it in the next couple of moments, but ever since I met Ryan, there was something different about him, and I truly believe that goes back to him just being in a constant pursuit of this relationship with Christ. I mean, he has the hunger for him, he has the thirst for him, and he really lives a life of faith, and I'm incredibly blessed and thankful to know this guy. He, like I said, near and dear friend of mine, former collegiate baseball player. He's the author of 3 books, which we'll be diving into. His most recent book that he released just a few months ago, it's titled Abiding, Living the Abundant Life. And so I cannot wait for you guys just to hear more about that incredible resource. We'll unpack it a little bit more today. But you guys, without further ado, just please help me introduce my good friend, Mr. Ryan Shea. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today, man.
Yeah, man, Zach, I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, dude. What a blessing it is just getting the opportunity to really slow down, to sit down and just hear more about yourself, your story. It's been one of my greatest honors and privileges just serving in that athletic shepherding role with the Liberty University baseball team the last several years, getting to know you, getting to know several of the other guys. But man, let me just say up front for all of our listeners, all those that are tuning in, there's always been something different about Ryan Shea. And I really feel like that comes down to this relationship that you have with Christ, this hunger, this thirst that you have for him, man. And so I just wanted you to know up front that I acknowledge that I see that, and it has really been impactful in my life personally. And so, brother, I guess where I want to start out today is by giving you the chance to really dive into your story. When was it that this hunger and this thirst really began within you, and when was it that God did a complete 180 in your life?
Yeah, man, I appreciate those kind words. I know for me, it took a while to really figure out what it really meant to follow Jesus. I'll say that. But a little bit about my story. I always grew up a Christian, you know, going to church every Sunday. I was always at Sunday school, worship nights, you know, always affiliated with the church. And on top of that, right, like if someone asked me, you know, do you believe in God? My answer was always yes. God's good. You know, life is good. Put a verse in my Instagram bio if I even want to. I was the, you know, prototypical Christian. But then I sat down and I was like, I'm missing something, you know, like something is not right here. There's gotta be more love, more intimacy, like more, grace, right? More closeness with God. And that's something that I didn't have. I think it was a root cause, of a distorted image of what I really thought my relationship was, which is having a relationship with him is walking with him every day. It's never going to come from good behavior, right? It's never going to come from trying to follow the rules, you know, and do the right things and be the right good person. You got to know someone personally to follow them. If someone asked me, like, man, do you know Jesus? Like, do you know him personally as a friend? You know, my answer was no. And that led me diving really deep into the Bible, into the scriptures about, you know, what it really means to follow Christ, the difference between having a relationship with him and then more so just trying to follow a religion. And outwardly express to other people that, hey, man, you know, I believe in God. There's a big difference there. And that definitely changed my life for the better. It's led me to where I am today.
I love it, Ryan. And I think, you know, your story, in a sense, is very relatable to mine growing up in a home where I feel like two really God-fearing parents that led me in the way in which I should walk. I knew God, right? I felt like I loved God. I knew all the verses. I got hundreds on all my Bible tests going to Liberty Christian Academy, right? Christian high school, Christian university, at Liberty University. I was going through that religion bubble in a sense. But like you said, it's one thing to talk about what it looks like to have a relationship with Christ. It's another thing to understand what that takes to actually foster and grow and step into something like that. So I know you're passionate about it, but can you help us understand really that difference that you were kind of just insinuating there between religion and relationship?
Yeah, for sure. When you focus on the poison of religion, you forget the power of grace. And I think that's the problem when, you know, you're so caught up in rules and behavior and lifestyle. You forget the main point of the cross, right? Galatians 2:21, you know, if we could do it on our own, then Jesus died in vain, right? So I think religion is our attempt to earn God's favor, you know, by following all the rules and being a good person and trying to do the right things. And at the end of the day, like, it's our own effort, right, to work our way to the Father. But relationship, you know, it's believing in Christ and Christ alone. And I think the power of that is, you know, with Christ on the cross, man, like, at some point you have to realize, like, you know, his work was sufficient, right? So you saying that you can work your way there or try to be a good enough person, like, that's basically saying, like, the nails weren't enough. And that's right. Something where you have to ask yourself, like, man, does God want my heart? Does he want me to just know him and follow him? Or does he want me to try to be a good person? And I think the funny thing is, I think, you know, most people that are trying to work their way to God, right, through religion, like, if you were to ask them even, they wouldn't even be confident in their own works. You know, like, they're the same ones trying to figure out, like, hey, you know, is this how it's supposed to happen? And then while they're trying to make it happen, like, they're the same ones saying, man, I really don't know where I am. Right. So it's a never ending cycle. And I think that's why relationship is the key. Because, man, like, God wants a relationship with you, right? Like, he wants to know everybody, right? He's not sitting up in heaven just praying on your downfall, you know, sending blessings here and there, you know, if something good goes good or bad. Like, he wants to know you and know your heart. And all we have to do is just know him and accept him back.
Man, it's so good. And as you're saying, something that always brought great freedom to me and that understanding of the difference between religion and relationship. And like you said, understanding that our worth and our value and our identity is not rooted or anchored or attached to our performance whatsoever was, I read a quote one time that said, like, the love, the grace, the mercy, and the forgiveness of Christ is something that we could never earn, but also something that we could never deserve, right? It was just this idea that although we are not worthy, God still calls us worth it. And I also read something the other day, as we talk about, like, proving, we talk about performance. Somebody said you're either, what did they say? You're either trying to prove someone wrong or you're trying to prove someone right. And when we live with that idea or that identity of always trying to prove ourselves, that can be so empty, right? Yeah. It can lead to a void, man, because it's almost like we can never be enough. And so I just wrote down the thought the other day that really at the end of the day, we have nothing to prove because Christ has already proved, right, our worth and our value and our identity when he willingly substituted his life for ours through death on a cross. And that's exactly what you're saying, man. And as we start to kind of transition this idea of and kind of keep building off of this idea of what it looks like to build and foster a relationship with Christ, a word comes to mind, which is that of abiding, right? Recently on our Extraordinary Women Tour, that was our theme this year, was abiding in Christ. You just wrote, right, you're an author of 3 books, but your most recent one is titled Abiding, Living Life Abundantly. And in this book, you explore what it truly means to understand that God doesn't need our performance. He simply desires our heart, a willing heart that is postured towards seeking him. It reminds me of a story I just wanted to read quickly before I ask you a question. It's found in Luke chapter 10, and it's about Mary and Martha. It's a well-known story. Some of our listeners and viewers may not know it quite well, but it begins in verse 38. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?'" Right? "Tell her then to help me." Like, come on, dude, I'm doing all the work here, Jesus. Can you tell her to step in and help me too? In verse 41, though, it says, "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Ryan, what does it mean to you, man, to actually abide in Christ?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the Greek word abide, it's the word mena, which means to remain or to stay with. And I think, you know, when you talk about abiding, the difference between, you know, following all the rules and trying to work your way there, it's a posture of your heart of just simply gratitude. Right. It's you just sitting and being, you know, steadfast in the love of Christ and the grace of God, saying, like, man, I'm so overwhelmed by what you're doing. Like, I'm going to just do my best, right, to tag along with you. Because here's the thing, you know, like, we talk about religion and relationship, like, our efforts are never going to be enough, right? Like, you just said, you look at the biblical standard, Romans 3:23, all have fallen short. And you look at the Old Testament and then repeat in the New, you know, be holy as I'm holy, right? So if you have two opposite ends of the spectrum, be holy as I'm holy, and then all have fallen short, like, man, we're in trouble, you know? That's like, we're in trouble. But that's the good news of the gospel, like you said, is that Christ is enough and will always be enough, you know, when we never are. And my the main quote here, I think, is, you know, you never fully appreciate the need of a savior until you recognize you're in need of saving. So I think that gratitude piece of, man, like, I know, like, I am so far gone, right? And, like, without him, like, I'm screwed. And it, the only way to the Father, the only way I could have right relationship with God is through Christ. And then I have the opportunity to know Christ, not by trying to earn it and not by trying to be good enough for it, but just simply by seeking him, right? That's just, that's unreal, right? It doesn't make sense. I think that's the power of grace, and that's what abiding looks like.
That's right, man. And we are who we are because of who's, really because of who he is and whose we are at the end of the day. And when we abide in Christ, when we build and we grow that development of an identity that's rooted and anchored in him and all that he's already done and all that he will continue to do, that is so freeing, and that is such a warm and welcoming place to sit at the end of the day in his warm embrace. And so, man, I love that idea of abiding. And as you talk about, and you've really just done a great job of kind of helping all of our listeners and viewers understand that we don't really have much to offer at the end of the day. We don't bring much to the table besides that willing heart, right? It's the free gift that we just have to accept and receive. I feel like a lot of people, though, Ryan, we know that, but we have such a hard time, like, actually receiving that, whether that's the guilt, whether that's the shame, right, the lies that we listen to. How does somebody get to a point maybe internally where they actually say, you know what, like, I have, even though I'm not worthy, right, I can still view myself as worth it, to where I can actually receive that gift today and get rid of the lies or the opinions or the view of myself that may have distorted that reception since?
Yeah, I mean, I think that lies within trusting the word of God, right? Like, I think, you know, we wake up every day, right? And, you know, maybe the day before we sinned, right? And then the next day we're, you know, trying to go about our business, you know, open up our Bible, do our thing. And, you know, that's, like you said, that sense of shame hits us where it's like, man, you really don't deserve to do this, right? You aren't worthy. And I think the beauty in that is you have to step out of yourself, like you said, you know, whose you are, and believe in Christ's words about you, not what you think about you, right? Like, it's not what you think it, the matter is, like, the final say and say is, like, Christ says you're enough, and, you know, you just want to need to come as you are, right? Righteous living isn't something you just do in your own power, right? It's something you just, it's a byproduct of walking with him, right? So the more you walk with him, the more you know him, the more he does the work in you, and a giving your heart to him will result in him changing your heart, you know? So it's a step-by-step process, and it's believing his words, his true words about you and your identity.
It's good, man. It's really good. And as we keep talking about this idea of it has nothing to do with our performance, there's something that you mention a lot in your book, which is still understanding the importance of utilizing and practicing what we call spiritual disciplines, right? Yeah. Can you help our listeners understand, like, why are those still so important to implement within our lives, but at the end of the day, they're not the deciding factor that gets us to heaven?
Yeah, for sure. Intimacy with Christ is something you work for, right? It's not something you work for. It's something you seek after. So when you talk about, you know, spiritual disciplines and, like, trying to know the heart of God, right, it's you're trying to build a relationship with him, not trying to qualify for a religion, right? And I think that's the difference that we think is, like, man, like, we're trying to do all these things and trying to, like, you know, check off all these boxes, but at the end of the day, like, they're not going to just add blessings over your life, right? And they're not going to, like, add God's love to you, like, when you meet him in the kingdom, right? Like, it's just simply in this moment of your life, you know, growing to know the heart of God so you can live out God's purpose in your life. Jeremiah 29:13, right, says, if you search me with all your heart, you will find me. Not if you behave well and follow the rules will you find me, you know? And I think the difference there is, you know, trying to obey based upon preconceived knowledge of, you know, following all the rules, like, it's never going to end well. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You know, it's a posture of your heart and a reaction based on what you've received, right? If I've received free grace, like, free, never-ending grace that I did not deserve, right? A death that was sent for me, then in return, like, God, you have my whole heart, right? Like, you have my entire life. That's my only reaction to what I've received. And that's what spiritual disciplines do. It's, you know, it's to grow and to have a relationship with him, not just, you know, follow the rules and know knowledge about God.
That's right, man. It's not just about following the rules, right? This isn't just a rule book at all. This, at the end of the day, is in a sense a guidebook of how to live that abundant life that John 10:10 talks about, right? The one that the thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but that Jesus has already come, and he's already paid the price so that we may live life more abundantly, like you said, with the grace that we receive from Christ, but understanding that I love that quote. What did you say? It's about building a relationship with Christ rather than qualifying for a religion.
Yeah.
That's good, yeah. Man, because you talk about like community, you talk about church, you talk about prayer, you talk about spending time in this word. That's building a relationship. It's just like investing in any other relationship in our life. It takes time, it takes work, it takes effort, although that isn't what qualifies us, right? Only Jesus does that, the belief in him, the forgiveness of our sins,
yeah.
But that helps build and strengthen that relationship. And there's that old quote, you are who you spend time with. The more time you spend with Christ, the more you begin to, in a sense, infuse like what Christ-like qualities look like in your life.
Yeah.
You begin to bear those fruit, and that's the difference, right? That's how you can tell that someone is actually abiding in him, by the fruit that they bear. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, no, that's good, man. That's good. And I think, you know, walking by the Spirit, you know, you talk about walking by the Spirit, and it's a byproduct. Like you said, like at some point you're going to think like, man, he's just going to wear off on me, you know?
Right.
Like whenever you want it or not, like if you're walking with him, at some point he's just going to start wearing off on you, and you're going to look up at your life and say, man, like this is exactly what I've wanted all along. Because at the end of the day, you know, my seeking and by faith, my wanting to know him and build my relationship with him, like he's just poured it all out on me. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference, right? Because religion, it's like, man, like I need to achieve this and achieve that before I get there. And Christ has just come. And I'll do it for you along the way.
Mm. Mm. You know how like when you're working out, you are a workout guy, right?
Yeah.
I ain't calling you a meathead, but my man's doing a squat program right now, right? After you come out of the gym, like you smell, like you have a certain smell about you because you're wearing the clothing, you smell a certain way, and people are like, bro, did you just work out, right? It's evident.
Yeah.
That should be our prayer. Is that the more time we spend with God, that we would like reek of his aroma to where it's like, man, it's evident that Ryan Shea is spending time with God, that he is attuned to the Spirit in his life because there's just something different about him, right?
Yeah.
It should be evident for everybody to see and to hear. Bro, as we keep talking about this idea of right living and how it actually ties into the process of grace and what really saves us, there may be a lot of people out there, man, who, whether they're new believers, maybe they haven't come to know Christ quite yet, and they're just watching this, they're very interested, they're entertaining the idea, but then it's like, bro, what happens, Ryan, when I actually have engaged in and I crave and I actually like the things in my life that I come to find out that God hates or actually break his heart? Like, how do I begin to strip away the old patterns? How do I begin to stop seeking or desiring those types of things when it's something that I crave, man? What does that whole process look like for somebody? What's the encouragement you would give them?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And I think honestly, like, that's the basis of walking by faith, right? And being a Christian is, you know, how can I day to day surrender my desires and honor God at the same time? And I think like the lie that we hear a lot in the church and just in Christian culture is like, hey, you know, once you become a Christian, like your goal is to be like Jesus, right? Like, what would Jesus do? Like, you know, how are you becoming, like all these questions. And like the aim is not to be like Jesus to attain perfection, right? Because we're never going to do it. The aim is to walk with Jesus and experience transformation. And I think that's the problem, where we think that, you know, like I said, in our own power, right, in our own efforts before him, like we're going to just magically end up there one day. And instead of just trusting, you know, him to do the work in us, like we fall short of even a bit of sanctification, right, because we're too worried about doing it ourselves. We try way too hard in our own power to perform instead of just trusting his Spirit inside of us to transform. And I think that's the issue, is like, man, like you can't do it on your own, right? Like we talked about earlier, you know, all falling short, like we're in trouble by ourselves. And I think along with that goes the route of sanctification, where, hey, if you want to become more like Christ, like you need to go straight to the source, you know, like he'll provide the strength for you to become more like him. It's not behavior modification, it's spiritual transformation, right? Yeah. It's God doing a work from you in the inside out, not you trying to, you know, from the outside in, pour it all out on him. And then, you know, we talk about sin in your life, you know, because like at the end of the day, like we're going to sin, right? We're sinners, saved by the grace of Christ, obviously. But we're all going to fall short still. And I think the question like we have to ask ourselves is like, is what we're doing, like the choice right now, right, to disobey in this moment, like why would I ever sacrifice that and compromise what I have with Christ right now, right? Like you talk about, you know, taking faithful steps, right, for X amount of days, you know, you wake up, you're like, man, like I'm starting to seek the Lord, right? Like I'm starting to really understand what it means to follow him. and just want to know his heart. And you know what? Like, I'm actually, like, it's successful, right? Like, I'm walking by the Spirit daily.
Yes.
And you get to a point where it's like, oh, man, like, I really want to do something, right, that's really contradictory to what God wants for me. And then in that moment, you ask yourself, am I willing to compromise and sacrifice what I have right now, right, what I've built all this time, on the altar of one sin, one moment, one experience, right? And that's not saying, like, you know, all these past, times have been built, like, you know, trying to build a resume for yourself. It's just, man, like, I've been close to God, you know, and it's really worth sacrificing that. And that, I think, going back to religion and relationship, you know, like, religion says try harder, right? Like, try, and, like, yeah, do it on your own. And, like, you can do it. Like, you know, just don't do this because you say you're a Christian, so you really shouldn't do that. But relationship, it just says trust more, right? Like, in those moments of weakness, in those moments of wanting to do something where you know you shouldn't, it says, man, like, just trust me, right? Like, I got you, and just trust me in this decision right now. Like, it's not going to benefit you, right? Like, you need to get to a point where Christ over all things, like, Christ is better than temptation. Knowing Christ is better than, you know, those desires that are against him. And he's your crown jewel, right? He's your greatest desire of all things.
Mm. Two of my best friends, their names are Josh and Tyler. I've spoken a lot about them throughout the podcast over the last several years. They kind of introduced me to a guy named Jamie Winship, and a lot of his stuff, he talks about, like, identity formation being anchored and rooted in the Spirit. And he said, like you said, it's not just about becoming more like Christ, right? A lot of times when we're experiencing tough decisions, different things like that, temptation, we ask that question, what would Jesus do, right? We're not Jesus at the end of the day. Like, we just aren't. And so we don't have something. Sometimes our flesh is so weak, but rather he says we should ask the question, what does God want me to know? Or what does he want me to learn about myself maybe in this moment?
That's good.
Right? And that's like what you're talking about, submitting or surrendering ourselves to the Spirit and his leading and his guidance on a moment by moment basis. That's what it means to die to self, right?
Yeah.
It's not just a day by day, a morning by morning where I try to purposefully and intentionally fall out of the bed and onto my knees, right? It's like there are going to be moments throughout the day that are going to require that submission to the Holy Spirit to say, God, I can't just become better at love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Like, I can't do those things on my own strength. Mm-hmm. But God, I need you to invade me with those qualities that you already possess for me. Let those live and breathe and dwell inside of me, and let those be spilling out of me. So that way, I don't fall into the temptation that is luring me, right? Because right now, man, I would if apart from you. Like, naturally, right? So it's like you said, it's seeking God. It's seeking what does he want us to know in the midst of those moments. And it's choosing to surrender to his leading and to his guidance every step of the way. That's how he begins to, in a sense, shift the discipline of our heart to reshape the desires of our heart.
Yeah.
And that's a big piece that a lot of people need to understand. We can't do it in our own strength. It's only by the strength, the grace, and the forgiveness, really, of Christ that we're able to step into that freedom that you're talking about today. So, bro, to listeners out there that, like I said, they maybe are a new believer, maybe they're a non-believer, but they're listening and they're entertaining this idea. The question I have for you, man, as we keep talking about this heart transformation, like, what is the end goal in all of this, right? Some people may be like, what's the ultimate prize as we continually, like, grow and we build and we try to abide in Christ and foster this relationship with him? What's at the end of this tunnel?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, if you look at your life and you don't like the harvest you're getting, you know, maybe it's time to start changing the seeds you're sowing. Right. If you're reaping something that you don't want, and you look at your life and you're like, man, I have no idea what I'm doing right now. Right. And, like, I feel farther than God than I ever have. You know, I don't know where to go back to. It's like, dude, like, start planting some new seeds in the ground. Right. And the fact of the matter is, like, they're not going to just happen in a day. Right. Like, harvest don't happen in a day. But you take one faithful step at a time. Right. Like, one faithful day reading your Bible, one faithful day going to church, you know, right? Life groups, small groups, you know, worship music. And then you look up one day and you're like, man, I've been walking faithfully for X amount of time. And this is where I wanted to be all along. Matthew 11, you know, it says, come to me, all you are weary and need of rest. My yoke is easy, burden is light. A yoke is it's like a wooden farm piece that they put around, like, cows, right, in the field. So when they're walking, Like they're literally, they can't go away from each other, right? They walk simultaneously, they do everything together. And I think that's the image here. Like we talked about earlier, if you are yoked, like literally yoked to Jesus, like he's going to wear off on you, right? And you can't get away from him. And I think, you know, getting there to that point of being yoked is the ultimate prize. You talk about being the ultimate prize, like the ultimate prize is him, right? Like not things that he can bring, not things he can do for your life, not, you know, adding, you know, favor or blessings. Like the ultimate prize out of the entire existence is Christ, right? Like Christ and Christ alone. Like he's the crown jewel, greatest desire, you know, all in all, Lord of Lords. Like he is all of you, right? And I think if he becomes your greatest prize, like your utmost desire, then everything else, you know, everything else will take care of itself, right? Because the more you seek him and the more you just like, man, like I'm so overwhelmed by you, it changes your life. Right. And it reassures your purpose. It realigns what you're doing. And it puts all of your focus on him and his glory.
Christ is the ultimate prize, right? Because he's the one that renews our hearts. He reshapes our perspectives. He renews our minds. And that way, whenever we're faced against challenge, difficulty, adversity, pain, trial, whatever that looks like in life, right? We can know that although God never promised the absence of those things, he promised his presence in the midst of those things. And so then we have a different perspective of knowing that even when we're going through those trials and tribulations, that God didn't just allow those things to happen, but he's actually in our midst experiencing them with us. And he goes where he is invited. So we don't have to turn to other things, worldly things, to try to satisfy the deepest longings and desires of our soul, right? Those aren't the rescue. He is ultimately the one that rescues us from the pits, right? He is the one that reshapes those perspectives. He is the one that gives us that peace and that comfort and the hope, because hope is a person. Christ is the ultimate prize. That's a great word, Ryan. And man, dude, I could sit here, bro, and talk to you for hours about this type of stuff. But what I want to kind of, how I always conclude just a lot of our episodes is just by allowing the guest the chance. You have the mic right in front of you, my friend, just to share a pressing word that God has placed on your heart for such a time as this, man. So to the person out there today, maybe who's struggling with this idea of fully understanding or comprehending what it means like to build a relationship with Christ, what it means to walk and to bear the fruit, right? To actually allow Christ to reek of his aroma, all of these things. What is that last word of hope, encouragement, and motivation that you want to instill within all of us today?
I think at any point in our lives, like we have to ask ourselves what matters most to us, right? You talk about your life here on earth, it's talking about your life into eternity. Like, what matters most to you, right? And that can be, you know, fame, popularity, money, material success, or, I mean, it could be good things. Like, man, I just want to have peace, right? I want to have joy. Like, I want to be, you know, sustained, right? And kind of live comfortably. And that's all great. But I think at the end of the day, like, if Christ is your crown joy, then what matters most to you is him, right? Psalm 27:4, David says, the one thing that I seek, right, is to dwell in the house of the Lord. And if you really like cherish Christ over all other things, like that's going to change the way you live, right? Because you weren't put on earth to be remembered. You weren't put on earth to, you know, accumulate fame and success, but you were put here to prepare for eternal life, right? And if we talk about this living life abundantly concept, it's like, man, you can start living eternal life right now, right? If you, by abiding with him, by seeking him, by knowing him, you can live the eternal life that he's prepared for you and put before you right now. And then on the flip side, that eternal life can pour into other people's and add into their lives too, right? To add to the kingdom. And it all centers back to the main point of like, man, how bad do you want to know the heart of God, and how can you embody it during your time here on earth? Because that's all that matters, right? And the good news is, like we said, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. It's right there for the taking, and you can make kingdom impacts, right? By one decision to seek the Lord and one decision to say, man, you are all I have, right? Peter said, you're all I have. Where else will we go, right? Where else would I go? You're all I have. That's what I'm focused on, eternal life.
I love it, man. You can make that same decision, which is life-changing today, and it will truly shape the trajectory of your life every step of the way moving forward. Ryan Shea, brother, again, for all those listeners that want to be able just to find the resource, all three of your books, but specifically the most recent one that we talked about, Abiding, Living Life Abundantly. Where can they find that resource? And also, where can they just find out more about you?
Yeah, all the books are on Amazon. Abiding's on Barnes & Noble as well. You can get on your phone, actually, on Apple Books, ebook. But if you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Ryan Shea, you search my name, I'm sure you can find me. But I'm sure absolutely that I'd be love to connect with all you guys.
And I challenge all of our listeners, go get the book. I'm telling you guys, it is so impactful. It's encouraging. It will encourage your heart. It will motivate you and push you closer to the heart of God. So I'm telling you guys, what a valuable resource. Ryan, man, I appreciate you, bro, your time and just your willingness to jump on the podcast with us today. I love you. I love your heart. I'm so thankful that God has again crossed our paths. And I just look forward to watching you continually grow and flourish as you step into this role of ministry, pastoral leadership, church planning, right? That's your major at Liberty. It's going to be incredible to see the things that God is going to continue to do in and through your life, bro.
Thanks, Zach. Love you, brother.
Love you, bro.
Man, you guys, I don't know about you, but I was incredibly blessed by the entire episode today and just hearing Ryan's heart, hearing how God has really come alongside of him and just reshaped his perspective in so many different ways, and to know that he is living just humbly and walking in the truth of God's word, the hope that can bring us in every facet of our lives. My prayer is that it would have been impactful for you, that it would have just been special just hearing again some of the incredible truths that Ryan has brought to us. And my prayer today, you guys, is that you would just really step into and just utilize that resource that Ryan has so graciously written. And it's the message that God has placed on his heart for all of us just to unpack and to dive into even more, this idea of abiding. Remember, his book is titled Abiding, Living Life Abundantly. And I want to read, as you look it up online, the last couple of sentences in the biography for the book. Read this. The aim is not to be like Jesus to attain perfection. The aim is to walk with Jesus to experience transformation. It's not your behavior modification. It's his spiritual revival. Because God never wanted your works or your efforts. He wants your heart. And the more you walk with him and grow closer to him, the more you will become all he has created you to be. It's called abiding. My friends, my prayer is that today and every day, you would begin to implement this act and this practice of abiding each and every day with him, to try to attune yourself to the Spirit of God, to try to submit and to surrender to his Spirit and to his leading and to his guidance through prayer, through reading of his word, through meditation, just trying to build and grow and foster and develop that relationship with him, because that's what it's all about. It's not about religion, you guys. Religion won't get us to heaven. It's about an intimate relationship with God, believing that he is who he is, believing that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can get to the Father except through him, and then asking for the forgiveness of our sins, recognizing that we are in desperate and dire need of a Savior, that we cannot get there on our own, that it's not by our works, that it's not by my performance, that I have nothing to prove, because all my worth and my value and my identity was proven that day on Calvary when Christ died the substitutionary death in my place on that cross. And then 3 days later, when he rose again, defeating sin and defeating death, and then when he ascended into heaven, giving the Holy Spirit as our advantage, man, what a gift that eternal life can be. And my prayer is that you would just step into and that you would receive that free gift today. My friends, I just want to give another special shout out again to Ryan Shea, just the special guy that he is, the brother, the friend that he is to me. I'm incredibly thankful that I have the opportunity of even spending the summer with him. He's interning for me here at the American Association of Christian Counselors, and this dude is just on fire for Jesus. He's so authentic, he's so raw, he's so real, and man, let me tell you something, he wants to walk alongside of you. So be sure to follow him on his social media accounts, be sure to reach out to him, and be sure again to just go and purchase his book, Abiding, Living Life Abundantly. You won't regret it. And I promise you, it will push you closer to and toward the heart of God. As always, I can't thank you guys enough for joining us and for just partaking in the midst of this conversation. And my prayer is that you would come back and join us again next week right here on the Built Different Podcast. Have a blessed week, my friends.